I thought I'd come on my crutches to see if there's someone with faith here that can pray for me. When I was flying down a couple of days ago, and I sat in the front row of the, just behind, you know where you nearly make it to business class, but you don't, but they tease you with that front row, and I was sitting there, and I had two seats open next to me on both sides. So I thought, oh, that's it. Now, this is my day today. So I'm going to put my foot up, took the boot off, watched the movie. Is it not there? Well, there you go. Must have bend it. There you go. Better. Come, let's one of the oaks come bend it for me.
Sorry.
There you go. Now you're going to tape it as well. And I was sitting enjoying my movies, and it was good fun. And with about 2 hours to go, there was a young man sitting behind me, on the row behind me, and I saw this man get up, and people get up in planes, and he walked with his big funny hat, and he came around and he said, "Good evening, or good day, my name is Jens. I'm from Switzerland." And I said, "Hello, Jens." He said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" And I said, "Of course you can pray for me." And he sat agonizing for possibly 2 hours, he said, praying, "Lord, do you really want me to pray for this man?" And he had no clue where I was, and he came to pray for me. And then he said, "Is it better now?" And I said, "Actually, it's just wonderful in any case." So I got to talk to him. I said, "It's not better yet, but it feels brilliant." And because at least when we pray for people, even though they don't get healed, they must feel loved. And we don't have an excuse there, because God heals anyhow. But I sat there, and then I said to him, "Where are you going?" He said, "He's going to Zambia." I said, "Oh, I'm going there in a few months' time." And we started chatting. I said, "Where are you going now?" "He's going to Durban." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Now, I met a girl in Zambia, and she now lives 45 minutes from Durban." I said, "Which city?" He said, "He doesn't know." I said, "Is it Pietermaritzburg?" "Maybe," he said. I said, "If you're there on Sunday night, come with me. I'm going to a church called One Life, to a friend called Grant Crawford's church. I'll be there." "Okay," he says. The Saturday night, we come back from a rainy day in Durban where it had rained, and my son and I were staying at a flat which is of this church, and there's a braai at the church. I walk up with my crutches. Who stands around the fire? There's Jens, the Switzerland. He didn't know which city he was going to. He didn't know which church he was going to. He didn't know which fire he'd be standing upon. This is the man that had boldness to come and pray for me, not knowing that I'm a preacher. I was so blessed by this young man. I gave him my number. We connected. I said, "He's flying back through Qatar. We're going to make a plan." I was encouraged by the faith of this young guy. And he's an agricultural mechanic. He fixes plant machinery. But he's coming to Africa to come, not just for the girl, he says for more too. But is there faith here? God responds with faith. I mean, he was totally blessed. I didn't jump up and do what he thought he would do, or I should do, but I'm sure God did something, certainly in my heart. I've been incredibly encouraged by little stories like that God knows exactly where we're going. 6 months ago, I said yes to a couple, an Irishman and South African girl, to marry them. And they said, I said, "Where are you getting married?" They said, "In Pretoria." Actually, just outside of Pretoria, towards Joburg. I said, "Okay, we'll do your wedding." And I thought, "Oh, we've got to fly down from Qatar." And at that time, my son hadn't even come to school in South Africa yet. And we sent him to South Africa to school because the embargo that we have from the UAE and other friends. And yesterday, on this wedding day, so it worked out that my son, who goes to school in Pietermaritzburg, played rugby in the city where we said yes to 6 months ago to do this wedding. And we got to watch him play yesterday morning. And then I still got to marry the people at three. King is way ahead of us. We don't have to worry so much about things. I want to just encourage you today. I saw this beautiful box here for the building program. What a delight. This is a city full of monuments of the past. What a privilege to be like a monument for the future, for the King. What a privilege to leave something behind you. I remember when I went to Qatar many years ago. I'm going to read a scripture in a minute. When I went to Qatar many years ago, the company that I joined had 9 people. And it felt like every decision I made made a difference. And it felt just, every decision was an important one. And now that company has 200 people. And it's a much bigger company. But it still feels like every decision that I make in the kingdom makes a difference. Every yes we say when the king challenges, every time the king says, won't you pray for this man in front of you? Won't we say yes to somebody in a faraway city to go and do things for them for God? Every time we do that, the king runs ahead of us. Every time we say yes to things like this, this is a big thing that you guys are going on in this building program. Every time we say yes, the king goes way further than we could imagine. I want to encourage you today. Last year went through a series on the book of Acts, and I want to just quickly preach to you, if I can, through something. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 43, he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Wasn't it wonderful to sit here and see, I don't know how many people, but 192 people added to this local church. That's a sign of the fruit of the kingdom. That's a sign of the kingdom at work. And when I went through the book of Acts, I saw so many things happening. I said, God, this is a church of 2,000 years ago. Look at all the fruit that was so abundant in these churches. And I look at certainly the church that we lead, and I go, God, I want more of those things in the church that we lead. And if that 2,000 years, Lord, would you come and change the thing in us that we see that fruit evident in us? And I went through the scriptures and I thought, look at all these things, God. What happened? How did it come about? Where did that come from? And I want to just take you through a few chapters, if I can, just with a few points to highlight. And maybe it'll encourage you on your journey as you say yes to Jesus every day with the little things. In Acts chapter 5, there's a section there that starts with the apostles persecuted. It's not a nice thing to read that as a heading. Apostles persecuted. It actually still does happen. People actually still get persecuted for the gospel. Rory will know. We have a friend called Hani. We planted a church in the city, and an Arabic-speaking church. And they have to leave Qatar in June because of the preaching of the gospel. He's led many to Christ, and he's perhaps done one or two things he could have done differently. But the long and the short is, because he's a preacher of the gospel, he is being deported out of the city. And I look at this here, and I say, wow, Father, this is still happening. The apostles are still being persecuted. Christians are still being persecuted for the gospel. At the end of this chapter, it says here, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering the disgrace for the name of Jesus. What are we like? A whole lot of students here, a whole lot of big people. Yeah, there's some big people here too. There's students. I saw a guy here. He's about 6'9". Who's that man?
7'2".
7'2". My goodness. Have you already got a wife? It's right. You'll get one. Don't worry about it. But I see these young people with such hopes and aspirations. But one thing we never think of, that we'll get persecuted for the gospel. I've recently, in the last couple of years, had to visit many people in jail. One thing that happened with Hani when he went to jail, I said, Hani, how was it when you went to jail? It was in for 4 days. He said, it was the worst experience of my life. He says, but I got to share the gospel with 20 people, and 3 got saved. And that sounds fantastic. The reality is, it's still tough. The reality is still being deported. There are signs, there are things that happen in the book of Acts. And when we have this Christianity in our mind that's all about me, the blessing of me, the enriching of me, the goodness of what's going to happen to me, we get slightly colored lenses that are not right. Our lenses get tinted and it's not right. We need to know that there is suffering that comes to the church. The first place Jesus goes to after he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, and immediately the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Straight away, he was taken into the wilderness. And there he was tempted by Satan. Can I say, not all wildernesses that we find ourselves in is necessarily because of our sin. Some of it is because God's taking us there. Some of it is because God is wanting to show us things that are going to happen in the wilderness that can happen nowhere else. When I'm in the wilderness time, I find myself praying very differently than when it's really good. When I'm praying when it's good, it's like, dankie, Here, so fantastic. When I'm in the wilderness, I go, help Jesus. And there is a difference to the way I pray. And I find myself discovering things in my heart when I'm in the wilderness time. And when you're in the wilderness time, you need it. Sometimes it is because of our sin. Sometimes it is because of the things that we do. A friend of mine said this recently. He said, you know, Rob, our sin takes us much further than we ever thought it would go. I said, yeah, that's really true. And I, sometimes there is suffering in the kingdom. But can I encourage us that even if we go through tough times, this is a fruit of what happened to the early church. And every time it happened, there seemed to be an expansion of the gospel. There seemed to be a reach out beyond which they couldn't go to. So if you go into a wilderness time tonight, don't ask God, why am I in the wilderness? Ask God, what are you doing in me? I want to encourage you guys. You'll go through tough times, as we all will. We've got elections in a month's time. Where's South Africa? South Africa sometimes seems to be in a wilderness. Actually, when I walked in for 2 minutes tonight, I thought maybe in the wilderness we had Eskom load shedding. It was nice and dark in here. And I thought, no, don't get upset, all the atmosphere guys. I'm just teasing. But the point is, South Africa is in a bit of a wilderness. South Africa is discovering things about itself that it didn't 25 years ago when there was the glory and the euphoria of the new generation and the new democracy. And 25 years ago, things have been so exposed. And now we get asked the question of how do we respond in these times? Some run. Some get negative. Some speak that they didn't know that they had that in them. But what do we do as the church in a time such as this? Jesus relied on the word. Satan came to tempt him and kept at him. He just kept on relying on the word. What do these apostles do? They rejoice in the fact that they were counted worthy for persecution for the name of Jesus. I wonder if the church around the world can still say that about itself. And then we wonder why we no longer like the church of the book of Acts. I'm not saying martyrs here. I'm not saying anything like that. No, don't get me wrong. But sometimes we'll go through tough times. And if we have a theology that is all about me and the blessing of me, we will wobble in those moments. But if we have a theology of it's all about him and the purpose that he's calling us into, you'll stand strong in those moments. I see this as a fruit in the kingdom. Go back further. Go to Acts chapter 5 verse 12. It says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders amongst the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number, like what happened here today. What is a church like that look? Everyone's too scared to join them, yet they get added to all the time. What type of a body is that? The church, one of the churches that we had the privilege of planting in Athens, there's a man called Ilias, he leads a church. They've become so known in that whole region, all the Syrian refugees and Iraqis that come through, a lot of them would pay smugglers to get them across the borders through Turkey, and they'd pay thousands of dollars. And they get a whole list of the smugglers and say this, this, this. And then they say, in the last number, there's a telephone number. And they say, if all else fails, phone this couple. And so there's a man who leads a church who's become so known in the region that the smugglers give his name to all the Muslim refugees that go to that city. So when everything else fails, you phone this man. They don't dare to join him, but God keeps on adding to their number all day long. It's radical. Dave Wallen, who planted the church that we lead, and today he's in Belgium. And so this morning he was in Belgium, and this week he's in Belgium, because he's gone to meet with some of those Muslims who got saved in Athens who now find themselves in Belgium and can't find a local church that what we would agree. So he's gone to go and speak to those guys today over these 2-3 days to see if they can find a man of faith that will say yes to Jesus, not knowing where it will go. In a nation that's lost the gospel. Brilliant. It's tough. Those guys are going through tough times, yet they're finding Jesus. There's fear amongst them, yet nobody wants to join them, but they keep on going to church. These are signs of the kingdom. Imagine the city. Geez, watch out for those 3CR guys, but they keep on being added to. Geez, those guys, but they keep on being added to. Those guys, but they keep on being added to. It's a sign of the kingdom. I want to tell you, it's going to happen here. Signs and wonders and miracles. I've been reading a little book. It's about 70-odd pages called They Told Their Stories. It's a story written by a man who, in the 60s, worked in an old age home in Los Angeles. And in this old age home was all the people, many people were there who were the children in the Azusa Street Revival. So they were there in 1906 till 10 when the Azusa Street Revival hit through a blind-eyed black man called William Seymour. And God used him to start a revival in Azusa Street. And from there, of course, it went throughout the world. But a lot of the kids, they were kids at that time. They were 12-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 14-year-olds. They tell the stories of what happened in those days. Extraordinary stories. The one tells the story, there was a man without an arm, and during worship, there was the presence of God, and his arm started to grow out. I mean, that's just radical. And there's this witness of it. The other one tells the story of a man who had his ear, he had only one ear. So the man had an adulterous affair. His wife got so upset and chopped off his ear. And so he finds himself in church, and the presence of God comes upon him. He becomes so repentant to the power of God that he falls on his knees and cries out, and his ear starts to grow out again. Radical things. And these guys write these stories of these signs, wonders, and miracles that happened. They would say there would be fire that would come from the sky upon the roof of the house, and they'd call the fire department. And of course, they had horses and chariots in those days chasing off with their buckets of sand and water to the place to extinguish the fire. And when they get there, all they would see was the fire from the sky, but nothing in the building. Signs, wonders, and miracles is the sign of the kingdom. I want to tell you today, whether Jens thought I was going to stand up or not, actually what God there was quite miraculous. It was a young man who stepped out against fear, against odds, and he's going to pray for this other fella. That's where signs, wonders, and miracles start. We had a few years ago, I had the privilege of baptizing with us Hani, who's being deported, with him, a Muslim preacher, a mullah. Got to baptize him in the sea. We were saying, where will we baptize this guy after he found Christ? We thought, at night, we'll hide it. Where will we do it? And eventually we said, now let's do it in the middle of the day. And the reason why I did it in the middle of the day, because between 1 and 3, they all go for a snooze. So if we go between 1 and 3, nobody will be awake. We can go to the place. We went to the beach. We found a secluded spot. And when we got there, we looked at the tide. We thought there'd be a lot of water. It was low tide. And so we had to walk about 200 meters out into the sea to baptize him. And we eventually found deep enough water, and we baptized this man. And at that moment, when he came out of water, he started speaking in Arabic, and he said, something is here. And I said, what is he saying, Hani? And he said, he says something wants to come out of his belly. I said, what? He says, what does Ephesus mean? This man asked in Arabic. I said, God, what is he talking about? What does Ephesus mean? I thought God take me to the scripture in Acts 19 with the disciples who found Christ. Paul met them along the road, and he said, what did you receive? And of course, they got baptized. And as they got baptized, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit wants to fill him now, and he's going to pop out of his belly a new language. And we said, laid hands on him in the sea, and he started to speak in tongues. This Arabic man was starting to speak out. It was an incredible moment. And I walked back to the sea, and there were two deacons standing. They were keeping cavy. You know what cavy means? They were keeping watch. On the beach, I got to the one man. He said, did you see the fire? I said, what fire? He said, did you not see the light? I said, middle of the day, what light are you talking about? He says, when we stood there looking at you guys baptizing, there was a light that came from heaven all around you guys that went right down you. Signs, wonders, and miracles. That man today is in Bahrain with a friend of ours because he had to flee for his life about 1.5 years after being baptized. These are signs of the kingdom. These are not stories that happened 2,000 years ago, and they happen now. And if we as a generation would start to say yes to Jesus, what will happen? It's a sign of the kingdom. Just turn your book back further. Go to chapter 4. Look at this in Acts chapter 4. Verse 32, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person amongst them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. The first thing I want to say is this: all the believers were one in heart and mind. There was such unity. In a project like this, the building program, there needs to be unity for it to go. It can't happen on Rory's faith. It can't happen even on the elders' faith. And I don't know where all the elders are. Can I challenge you on this? Are you with Rory? And I'm sure you are. But I'm saying to you, and the church, it can't happen because of them. It's got to happen because all the believers are one in heart.
Brilliant.
And will respond.
Brilliant.
I was preaching in Nepal in December. And I was with my friend Ram. And they planted a church out of Varanasi, north of Hindu land. All the Hindus there, where the Ganges River comes, and all the guys go to die, and they go to their pilgrimage there, and they have their whole thing. I said, Ram, how's it going? He said, Rob, we have 35 now. And he was the first Christian in his village. And I said, Ram, tell me, how do you say hello in your language? Because India has nearly 1,000 languages. And he said, Rob, we say Paulagi. Can you say Paulagi?
Paulagi.
Now, there's only Rory and three others responded. Can you say Paulagi?
Paulagi.
I'll show you what Paulagi means. Paulagi means, I come to touch your feet. I said, is that hello? He said, Rob, it means I come to touch your feet. He said, that's why I can go into a Hindu heartland and people don't throw me away the first thing they hear from me. I said, and what's the response? He said, this response is Kuzram. So what does Kuzram mean? He says, the man will say, be happy, brother.
Wow.
I come to touch your feet.
Beautiful.
And we as the church, we can't be unified about simple decisions. But he goes into the Hindu heartland and he says Paulagi to people who are the enemy of God. How many of you will go and say Paulagi here to someone who doesn't look like you, doesn't smell like you, doesn't talk like you? How many of us here will go in this city to people who come from a different nation? I had the privilege of preaching this morning to a church where there was possibly 12 nations of Africa represented. There were Kenyans, there were Malawians, there were Zambians, there were Congolese, there were South Africans of every type and tribe. I said, it makes no sense that you guys would all be together worshiping one Jesus. I said, but a sign of the kingdom is they were all in one heart. There was a Paulagi that started to happen. When last have you gone and touched the heart, the feet of someone? And it's the humility about it. It's the love that goes with it. It's not just the action. Will you do that? And will you then say, Kuzram? I said, Ram, you've taught me something today. They were all in one heart, all in one accord. No wonder the Spirit of God fell in those places. What about 3CI?
Brilliant.
Will the Spirit of God fall? See, we want the Spirit of God to fall, but we don't really want to make all the changes for it to happen, do we? We prefer to have our flavors, and we prefer to have our cultures, and we prefer to have our backgrounds, and whatever it is, it is a bigger thing. And we become tribal even. A man from India, whose wife still cannot read. The only way she knows the gospel is her husband every morning, Ram, sits with her and reads her the Bible. So her only memory of the Bible is what her husband has read to her. That Ephesians 5 scripture said, husbands, wash your wives with the word. That's real for them. And she says, Paulagi, with her husband. And they're changing a village and a city. 3CI, will you be one accord on these things? Will you trust your leaders? Will you come alongside? And say, no, it's not going to be their faith. It's going to be our faith. That's going to cause this thing to change. And then the believers sold everything. Amazing. Barnabas, the first guy that Jesus would send, or the church would send to the place where Christians were called first in Antioch, because that was where they were called Christians first, is Barnabas. It's not somebody else. It's not Paul, the great apostle. He came later. It's not the disciples who were with Jesus. They were stuck in Jerusalem. It's Barnabas. It was a generous man. People say to me, so I want to go over the gospel. I say, are you generous? Are you generous? Sure. What do you mean? What's that got to do with it? I know the scriptures. I said, are you generous? Yeah. Because God sends generous people to his first church. See, that's the guys I'll send that will go and encourage them, will go and change them. Not the guys that come with the seminary degrees, and they can also be sent. But I want to tell them, are you generous? Because in that place, this city will be changed. If this church grips that thing, can you imagine what will happen to Tikkies and whatever else there is nowadays here? Tikkies and Tikkies. And all the other places. This is a great city. I got saved in this city 27 years ago. I was no different than any of you. Start saying yes to Jesus. Start opening up your hands to him. They had all their positions opened up. Okay. What does a place look like where there's no needy amongst them? I want to be part of a church like that. Who wants to be part of a church like that? No one. Yeah. Hello? Who wants to be part? I want to be part of a church like that. That is a church where there are signs of the kingdom popping up all over the place. Now I'm going to make it all the way back up here. Paulagi, Kusram. Turn with me. Go back further. Acts 3, we know what happened there. Silver and gold I have not. Stand up and walk. What I have I give to you. Stand up and walk. Healing happened. Acts 2, let's just go here quickly. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Can we say devoted themselves?
Devoted themselves.
Because I can't devote you, and I'm sure Rory's taught this here. I think I heard it from him. But is that still a value of this church? So the elders can't come and devote you. You've got to devote yourself. The elders can't devote you to the word. You've got to actually do that yourself. We can present the word, but you devote yourself to the word. We can present the gospel, but you respond to the gospel. There's a devotion that comes from the church. And in a place where there's a devotion to the gospel, there are signs, wonders, and miracles that will start to happen. There's a community that will be established that is different than the world. I love this. What else were they devoted to? They're devoted to fellowship. Not singleship. Fellowship. The world is everything about singleship. It's about fellowship. It's about coming together. It's about guys coming together, breaking bread, eating in their homes, just sharing life. We talk about doing life together. Let me ask this question. When last did you have someone in your home other than your mates? When last did you have someone in your home that looked different and smelled different and talked different than you? When last did you have someone that supports the Stormers in your home? Now, that's a stupid joke because you guys are all bulls here and sharks. No, it doesn't matter. But the point being is, when last did you have someone in your home that's totally different than you? Fellowship, devoted, breaking of bread, establishing of a place where the gospel comes. That's what happened. In Acts 2:42 to 47, the whole gospel comes alive. It says, signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions, give everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Who wants to enjoy the favor of all the people? Imagine enjoying the favor of all the people. It says Jesus grew in favor with God and favor with man. My friends, these are signs of the kingdom. Favor with all the people. I was at this church this morning and they had on the board there was a lot of prayer points. And one was, we want favor in business. We want favor with people. I said, It's scriptural to pray for favor with people. It's scriptural to see it happen. I said, but there's a whole lot of things that you need to start putting in your place for it to start to pop up. We can't just walk in prosperity and say, favor, favor. No, actually, prosperity talks about devoted to scripture, fellowship devoted, devoted to bread, devoted together, devoted to eat, and then starts to happen, fellowship starts to break out, and favor starts to break out. See, when we do these simple things, signs of the kingdom will follow. Because the king is honest and he's more committed to his word than you and I.
Great.
I want to say to you, 3CI, I think this is an exciting season for you. And there's signs of the kingdom want to pop. But I think we just need to go and have a look. And see, is there some changes that God wants to bring in our hearts? How am I responding in these little things? Because the king means business. It's a wonderful privilege to be and preach to you guys. And every time we have the privilege of coming back, seeing how things change. And I'm delighted to see, and the Lord added to their number daily who are being saved. Wouldn't it also be wonderful? I wonder of the 192 newcomers members, it'd be wonderful to see that at least half of them were new Christians too. Not just new churchgoers, but new Christians. Imagine that. Because it says they weren't just added those who are already Christian and belong to other churches coming across because they like Rory, which is true. But also those number who are being saved daily. How about that? That's a sign of the kingdom. I'm challenged by that. We prayed a prayer this year and we know we're close there. But we said, Lord, can you give us 10 salvations every weekend? I don't know where we are with the number, but we prayed it sincerely. But we've seen many get saved this year so far. I want to say to you, this church is not about this. This is not what it's about. It's about what's to come. This 22 years or 27 years, what God has built in his faithfulness, 22 years, is the start. He hasn't established all this for this. He's established all this for what's to come. This new building. Can you imagine you celebrate your first 1,000 people that get saved in the new building? Can you imagine? But what a party. I'll fly down that day when you say we've had 1,000th salvation in our new building. What will this city start to look like? When signs of the kingdom pop over everywhere because we're making the adjustments and the changes in our heart to say, God, we're not wanting to build comfortable church. We're laying our lives down. I want to say to you today, I'm not going to carry on further. I want to just, the reason why all this happened, because when we get to Acts 1, Jesus, when he goes up, talks about, we see the whole outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1 verse 8. He says, and I will fill them with power so that they could be, fall down, giggle, laugh, and joke. We'll fill them with power. They will be so overcome that they will be forever changed so that they'll be my witnesses unto the ends of the earth in the city, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And finding one person at wells and finding lost communities and cities, but they will be filled with power to be my witnesses. And when they were filled with power because they were his witnesses belonging to him, bang, all these things started to happen. Because they said, no, actually, we've been forever changed. Have you been forever changed? In a place where we are forever changed by this king and his spirit being poured out upon us. You know, when Peter declares what happened, he says, these guys aren't drunk. They're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. He says, no, this is what Joel spoke of. In Joel, in chapter 2, you go and read it. And it starts like this before. There's a Joel over there. You're a good man, Joel. And in Joel chapter 2, before it comes to the pouring out of spirit, there's a scripture. I think it's verse 12. It says, rend your heart and not your garments. He's not looking for our religious garb. He's not looking for us to tick the boxes. He's not looking for us to just come in with our culture and our background. He's coming for it to lay it all down. And we say, we're rending our heart to you, God. In that place where we rend our heart to the king, he says, in that place I will pour out my spirit and they will be forever changed and all these signs will follow. 3CI, would you rend your heart in this season like never before? So the king can pour out his spirit like never before. So the signs of the kingdom can erupt like never before. And for a church like that, I want to be part of a church like that.